church. That's great. We don't normally do this, but I think that the song that we sing before we start the service should be sung by everyone. So stay seated, that's fine. Carry on coming in, finding your place and everything like that. But we are going to sing Send the Fire Today. Well done, William Booth, for writing that. That's great. Well, you might know that today is Pentecost Sunday, so fire has been on my mind all week long, so we're going to talk about that just a tiny bit to some of the children. Not that there's many, many children in at the moment, but we'll talk about that in a second. But first of all, let's follow that plea in song up with a prayer. Father, we thank you for that promise that never fails. Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit. He will be the comforter. He will bless us and bring gifts and fruits and everything that we need to serve you in this place. And Lord, we ask that that would be our experience today and ever after. Father, we ask that you would bless us all with your gifts that we can minister in this place. That we won't be complacent, we won't stop doing what we're meant to be doing, and we won't think that we're either too young, too old, too whatever, to do the things that you have for us. So Lord, we pray that you would make that our experience today. And as we come to worship and thank you for our salvation through communion, we come to worship and thank you for your inspiration and your breath in our lives. Father, we thank you for all that you do to us. Amen. Amen. Do to us and do for us. All right, one or two things just to to mention. I brought a selection along here this morning, and I was hoping there might be a few children in, but there's not very many in. So I hope you can see from the back there. Can you tell me what these are? What are these? What have I brought? Not four, only three. Okay, so this one was a bit grubby, but this one hasn't really got a smell, but it's a bit posh because it's meant to be made of real beeswax, hence the colour of it. So that one's a bit posh. That one's been put in the right place, exactly the right place for it. It fits in and it won't fall out. That one does smell, that one smells. These ones here. Gift from a friend, thank you, Linda. Shining moments, no less, very special ones. And you can even smell these through the box. They're just little, but they've got a powerful smell and everything. So they're all candles. They're all slightly different. But, oh, now we have got some children in. How do I get the best out of my candles? How do I get the best out of a candle? What do I need to do to it to get the best out of it? Yeah? I do. I need to set it on fire, don't I? To get the best out of a candle, I brought this instead of a match so that I could rely on it. To get the best out of a candle, you need to set it on fire. And I think God knew that when he thought about the church, that to get the best out of the church, he needed to set it on fire. And that's the thought that we're thinking of today. I'd just like to read some really familiar words from Acts 2. It's the start of chapter 2 and the first few verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, and then I have been praying for forgiveness for this bit. So verse 7, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking from sitting born? How come we hear estuary English? North, south, east and west. Leicester, Shona, Welsh, London. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And that's why we're all here today. We are here to declare the wonders of God. And let's start by a challenge, really. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. But we're here to spread the light. Let's stand and sing together if you're able.
Thank you.
Amen. You're in fine voice. And who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh,
the Lamb who was slain. Worthy.
Let's bring our prayers before God and just worship him for all that he does in our lives. Amen. Amen. That last verse that we sang said, "Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place." As we come to gather around the communion table, he ministers his grace. He died for our salvation. And nothing is too hard for him. No one is too grubby to be cleaned by him or to be welcomed into his kingdom. Please do take your seats and we'll gather around the communion table and Nathan will lead us through this.
No one here this morning would be comfortable boarding a ship without a captain on board. No one would be comfortable boarding an aeroplane without knowing that there is a qualified pilot and co-pilot on board. No one here would perhaps feel comfortable boarding one of the local buses in the area, knowing that the driver is qualified to drive the bus. But in a real sense, in all of our lives, before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were walking around, we were living this life, we were going in various directions, and perhaps we didn't even know that we were lost. But without Jesus, we were indeed lost. And that's why Jesus came to earth. He came from heaven to earth. Why? To show us the way. To give us a clear direction so that we can be ordered and our steps be ordered back towards God. So as we come before the table here on Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, we also remember the foundation of the church, which is built on nothing less than the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite our deacons to come now as we prepare to serve the elements of communion. One of our deacons is going to lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine.
Father, we've already been reminded of that amazing grace, that amazing love. And Father, we ask ourselves the question, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Father, we are not worthy of the least of your notice, but we thank you that you, in your love, had compassion on each one of us and sent Jesus to die on that cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins. And so we thank you, Father, as we come to this table this morning, that as we look at these elements, as we take of these elements, we pray, Lord, you will help us to be thankful and to ask ourselves that question, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Father, we pray that you will just help us to be truly grateful and to come into your presence, knowing that it is because of your blood and nothing that we have done. Yes. And we give you our thanks and our praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This meal is freely available to all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. It is a free gift. It represents the free gift of grace poured out for us on the cross at Calvary. But if you are not yet at that place where you've come to faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then we would encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into that knowledge of Jesus for yourself. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he records these words, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you." At the same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, gathered around the table with his friends, his disciples, after supper he took bread, and after giving thanks, he said to his disciples, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Well, church, as you are now served with what represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Jesus Christ, broken for you. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death. Until that great promise that one day the Lord Jesus Christ shall make his return." Amen. As you are now served what represents the blood of the Lord Jesus poured out for you and for me on the cross of Calvary, please do retain your cups until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our unity through the blood of Jesus. Amen. about you. It's all
about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all
about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
One more time.
It's all about you. All about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. We would not be here today if it was not for the blood of the Lord Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins. Let's drink together now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. After they had partaken, the Bible lets us know that there they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. And we're going to continue in worship and praise to our God. But before we move on in the service, it's such a blessing and a privilege on Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, to be able to officially welcome. Yes, you can clap. Yes. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, church. So we have some new members to officially welcome into this local church here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. So we're going to see if we have any who are here today. Bradley. Is Bradley here? Bradley Chan? He's in Birmingham. Okay. Also, we'll catch him. Grace. Is Grace here? Come on down, Grace. Not here? Okay. Blessing and Uka? Yes, come on up. This is for you both. Just stay here at the front for us. Christina? Is Christina here? No? Ricky and Jade, I think. Ricky's here. Come on down, Ricky. You can bring the boys as well. Bring the boys as well. Chevette? Yes. Is Kelvin here? Kelvin? No. And Emmanuel and Esther. Emmanuel and Esther, are they here? No. Okay. And Ricky's coming down now. Thank you. So church, here you'll find these wonderful new members. They're now your family. We're all family. We're part of God's big family. And it's such a blessing to have you now a part of our church as official members. And we're going to pray for you now and officially welcome you as members of Sittingbourne Baptist Church. But before we pray, I would like to offer you, extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Welcome, Ricky.
Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. Welcome. Welcome. God bless you. Let's pray for these dear new members. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending these dear ones here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Lord, we thank you for their lives. We thank you for their journeys. We thank you for their testimonies of how, Lord, you have touched and impacted their lives. And we thank you that they have desired within their hearts that they want to continue to serve you here as a member of Sittingbourne Baptist Church. And we welcome them. And we thank you that they are a part of this family. And we pray, Lord, that they would continue to grow in the wisdom and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would be willing and available to use the gifts and the talents that you have blessed them with for the furtherance of your work here in the gospel field, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And we pray for their families, their extended families, that they too will be blessed and encouraged, Lord, by their participation right here at Sitting Bourne Baptist Church. So we commit them to you now, and all those who are not present here with us, we pray your blessing upon each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, welcome. God bless you all. Amen. Bev.
Well, time is tearing away, so I'm going to cut straight to asking another important question. I asked about my candle this morning. So here before me lies an abundance of goodies. Do any of the children have a birthday? Either maybe you've had it in the past couple of days and you've had a party, or in the next few days before we get to next Sunday, have I got any birthdays? Nobody's hands are going up now. You all answered my questions nicely before. No? Okay, I just mentioned Louisa as one of our young people. She's reaching maturity in the next few days, so we say happy birthday to her. And I was going to ask whose birthday it was today, i.e. the church's birthday, but we've mentioned it several times. And so it is the church's birthday today. The fire came down and pushed them all out from where they were hiding, and maybe being complacent, and made them go out. And let's pray for the children. They're going to go to their groups now, but let's pray for them before they go, and then they can go out and have the word in the right level for them. Father, we do thank you for all of these children, whether they have a birthday today or not. Lord, we thank you that they are here with us, and that every service is an all-age service. And we don't take that for granted. We must never become complacent about having young people within the service. So, Lord, we commit them to you. Bless their times that they spend together. Lord, bless whoever is speaking to them or bringing them the word this morning, and make it a special time that they spend together. Amen. So as they leave, we will just remain seated and sing a little chorus from quite a while ago, Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. Amen. That must be our prayer as we go through the week. I'm going to come to a time of prayer in just a second, and I just want to remind you to all look at these and go to whatever's on that back page that is appropriate, but especially note that there is a men's fellowship tomorrow, starting at 7 with sausage rolls, I'm led to believe, so it's worth coming to. And then a time of fellowship probably starting about 7:30, and Ricky's going to be there and give his testimony, so it's a good time to go to get to know him a little better. And there's several things inside which say there's a leaflet down at the front, so they've been neatly cleared away. So it's my fault that the platform is a bit messy, but there's lots of leaflets down there to take away with you about things coming up next Saturday and in the beginning of July, the blue leaflet there. So lots of things going on, and everybody very kindly sends me loads of paper, so I thought I would pass that on to you. So do pick them up or take a photo if you want the information, and then you can go to the different things that are going on. And one really important bit of your sermon notes is there is the prayer page, and there's lots of different things to pray for on there. Every week I print on, you know, cut it out and pin it to the fridge or something, and that's a good thing to do. So let's pray for our whole church family just now. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that every Sunday is a special day. It's the Lord's Day, but today is a really special day. And Father, we thank you that you never disappoint. Lord, you fill us with your Spirit till we are overflowing. And we want to continue to be overflowing throughout the year. And Lord, we come to you and we bring many needs to you. Lord, we know that we need peace, we need healing, we need people to recognize their lack of faith. And Lord, we pray that you would answer those prayers, the prayers that we pray in our own homes, in our own quiet times. Lord, we bring all the people of the congregation before you, Father, and we bring those who are not here. Lord, we love them and we want them to be a living, active part of the fellowship, using their talents, using their gifts. So, Father, we pray for each and every person that your Spirit would fill them to overflowing. And Lord, we pray that as that happens, we would have an effect on the community outside of this building, that we would be lighting up the dark places. And Lord, we pray for the things that we have going on in the church that help with that. Lord, we thank you for how busy Food Bank was, and yet each person had some personal attention. Lord, for the cafe, for the conversations that are taking place there. And Father, we do pray for the men's fellowship. And Lord, we ask that you would bring many people along to that they would hear Ricky's testimony and be touched by that. Father, we know it's important to gather together and to worship you and to praise you. And we thank you for your continued blessing and the growth. The new members this morning, Lord, we ask that you would find their ministry in this place. Lord, that you would point out to them all that they can do for you. Amen. Well, Nathan's going to come and speak to us very soon. I know it's time races on when communion's in the midst of the service, but let's just stand and sing one more modern hymn before he comes to us. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing.
Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much, Bev and the worship team, for leading us in worship today. I know it's hot and time is far spent, so I'm not gonna preach the full sermon today, but I'm just gonna read the story from our passage and then just send you off with one challenge today to think about throughout this week. So we're gonna read from Matthew chapter 25, and this is the penultimate stop. We have two more sermons to go in this series of Watch Out For, and of course, we have been watching out for several things that can sometimes get in the way of our Christian lives, and today we're looking at complacency, watching out for complacency. And Jesus tells a story in Matthew's gospel, a parable, a story of the talents. And in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, it says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. Look, see, I have gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness.' And then the man with 2 bags of gold also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold came and he said, "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." You see the excuses of the third man? "So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And this is the reply for this third servant. The master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that then when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. I want to just read verse 18 again. And our focus is going to be on the third man, the third servant. "But the man who had received one bag went off, and he dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money." Friends, a few weeks ago, the time had come for my car to go for its MOT check, MOT test. And I have to say, in all honesty, and going back to last week's sermon on pride, I was absolutely confident that my car would pass with flying colors. I was absolutely positive that my car would have no problems whatsoever in passing the MOT test. I mean, I just replaced my tires, and there were no warning signs on the dashboard. So I was really positive that my car would pass the test. It would just be a routine test, no problems whatsoever. Only to be met with the news on my return to pick up the car that, "Mr. Gordon, your car has failed the MOT test." So I said, "You're joking. How could that be? There's no warning signs on the dashboard. I recently changed my tires. The car drives smoothly, in my opinion. What could be the issue?" But the mechanic let me know that the problem with your car is not something that can be seen or felt right now. But if the problem is not resolved right now, then sooner or later, the issue or the problem will rise to the surface. In other words, the car may appear to be in full working order to the naked eye, but if you look beyond the surface, church, if you take a closer look through a professional inspection, then you will find that there's an issue that needs attention. And friends, that the issue with my car that needed attention, and the significance that I learned of this particular part of the vehicle and the role that it plays is significant, because the primary function of what is called the anti-roll bar, the anti-roll bar joint, and the purpose of the anti-roll bar joint is to minimize and protect the car from debris and dirt. Its job is to protect against the ingress of dirt on the near side and on the off side. And friends, it was at that moment, as I picked up my car And the mechanic gave me a lesson on this particular part that I had no idea about. That the Holy Spirit sent me a message from the heavenlies. Because I could not help but see the connection between the anti-roll bar joint on my car and the subject matter that we're talking about this morning concerning complacency. Because could it be, friends, that we are so busy driving in the fast lane of life, where the lure and the pull of this world and its desires have led to a state of complacency and spiritual lethargy? Could it be as we're driving along the way, going about our everyday lives, that we have allowed the debris and the noise of this world to cause a sense of internal pollution? And as a result, we have become complacent in our walks with the Lord. Could it be that the ingress of debris and pollution of this world has caused us to rest on our laurels? Rest on our laurels. And we often use this phrase, resting on our laurels, to paint the picture of complacency in our lives. Because in ancient Greece, a laurel was taken from an evergreen tree or a shrub. And the shrub or the green tree had attractive green leaves. And in ancient Greece, the foliage from the tree or the shrub was used to form a wreath or a crown that would signify success of an athlete. It was the symbol of victory. It was the symbol of success. Hence the term, resting on your laurel, resting on your success, resting on your achievements and your accolades. And if we're not careful, we can allow the things of this world to lead us to a place of spiritual complacency and resting on our perceived success. And friends, such was the case right here in our parable, our story this morning. Because in Matthew chapter 25, I want to close out today by leaving you with the sentiments of the third servant mentioned in the story. Verse 18, Jesus tells the story that three individuals would receive gifts from the owner as the owner was about to go to a far country on a journey. And before he set out for his journey, he called the three for a little business meeting before he went on his way. And he said to one, I'm giving you 5 bags of gold. To the other, I'm giving you 2 bags of gold. And to the third, he said, I'm going to give you 1. But when the owner came back to see the progress of his gifts, he recognized that the first man who received 5 bags, he doubled his bags. And he was able to present to the owner 10 bags of gold. And then the second man, he also was busy working while the owner was away. And he was able to present to the owner 4 bags of gold. But then came the third servant. The third servant who received 1 bag of gold. And unlike the other two, church, he decided to be complacent with his gift. He decided to dig a hole in the ground and to bury his gift into the ground. You'd be amazed, friends, that perhaps the most prominent place that you and I could ever visit in this earth, where you will find wonderful gifts, wonderful talents, wonderful potential that could have done great things in this life, You and I could look no further than the cemetery. Gifts that were buried in the ground. They had great promise, great potential. It was the will of God to give them a gift of salvation. But throughout this life, they decided to say, no, I don't want to embrace the gift. So the gift has now been buried in the ground. Because we can walk this earth and go throughout our daily business without acknowledging the gift that God has blessed us with. And friends, could it be that just like the third servant who dug a hole in the ground and buried his gift, could it be that for some of us here today, that we too are burying our gifts in the ground? Could it be that we are sitting down on the great gift that God has given you? Could it be that we are not putting to work the gift and the talent that God has given to you? Could it be that you're saying, I'm too busy. I've got too much to do. My agenda is so full. There's no way that I can do the things that God is calling me to do. And could it be like the third servant that we are coming up with a whole host of different excuses as to why we are not putting the gift to use? But I want to encourage you today that God has not called us and he has not equipped us to bury his gift in the ground. But he desires for each and every one of us to use the gift that he has blessed us with to make an impact in this world. Every single one of us has work to do in the kingdom of God. But the question is, are we resting on our laurels? Have we become too complacent? And are we taking it too easy? And like the man, perhaps some of us here today are saying, well, Nathan, I'm too old to put my gift to work now. I don't have what it takes to put my gift to work now. Could it be that like the third servant in the story, maybe you're looking at the other gifts around you? Looking at the first man who had 5 bags. Looking at the second man who had 2 bags. And maybe you're saying, I don't know if I have what it takes to be effective in God's kingdom. I'm only good at one thing. Can I really be effective in the kingdom of God? I'm here to encourage you, whether you have 5 gifts, whether you have 2 gifts, or whether you only have 1, it's not the quantity of the gift that is important, but it is the recognition that God has given us all gifts. And the question is, what are we going to do with them? God has great work for the church to do. There is so much to be done here as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Are we just going to wait in vain? Or are we going to be busy building the kingdom of God as we wait the return of Jesus Christ? Perhaps we're saying, I've lived a long life now and Jesus has not returned. And maybe the duration of his return has caused some of us to become complacent. Like myself, when I was a kid, I would hear with regularity messages about the return of Jesus. And as a kid, I was expecting him to return, as they would say, he's coming soon. And now I'm nearly 35 this year, and he still has not come. But the Bible does not tell us the date, the hour, or the time. But it does tell us that he is coming. And we have to be busy doing the work that he's called us to do while we are waiting. It's like the teenager who his parents are going out for the evening. And if that teenager left behind wants to be a little bit naughty and have a little party while the parents are away and invite their friends over, then the first thing that that teenager needs to do is find out when mum and dad is coming back. Now, our children and young people have left, so they won't get any ideas, don't worry. Because then you can expect when your parents are coming back. So you can send everyone away and tidy up the house before they come back. But the difference with Jesus, we don't know when he's coming back. But all we know is that he is coming back. And we can't allow the duration of his return and how long it's taking for him to return to allow us to become complacent. But we have to be like the first two servants. They were busy at work, being fruitful, and they multiplied whilst the owner was away. So my challenge today, it's time to get to work. It's time to put our gifts to action. It's time to rejoin that team in the church. It's time to rejoin that group that you used to attend with dedication and commitment. It's time to reaffirm your commitment to prayer and to the study of God's word. It's time to recommit our time and our energy to serving the purposes of Christ. Because it's not God's will for any to perish, but that all would come to repentance through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the birthday of the church, we have a great work to do. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us all gifts from heaven. Whether we have five, whether we have two, or whether we have one, we are all part of the body of Christ, and we are all important in the body of Christ. Whether we're up leading from the front on a Sunday, or whether we are busy at work in the communities, amongst our peers, around coffee tables and coffee shops, sharing the good news of Jesus, or whether we're demonstrating Christ-like attitudes, loving people with a tender heart and embracing people with kindness and meekness. Lord, whatever you have called us to do, I pray that those gifts will be stirred within our hearts, that we would put them to use, and we will not bury them in the ground. Father, it's your desire for each and every one of us to be a part and to be active in the body of Christ. And Father, there's so much work to be done as we wait for your return. So many lives need to hear the gospel. So many people need encouragement. So many people need someone to come alongside and to encourage and uplift. And Father, each and every one of us can play a part in building your kingdom and building your church. So Father, would you impress upon each of our hearts? Would you inspire us to action? that you would reignite the passion and reignite the flame, Lord, to serve you in gladness. So, Father, we pray for each and every one now, for our children and for our young people, because no one is too young and no one is too old to be busy at work in the kingdom of God. Because, Father, when you return, just like the owner in the story, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on up. I'm going to make you rulers over many." We don't want to hear, "You wicked servant, depart from me." But we want to hear, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." So help us now, Lord, to be faithful with the gifts that you have given us and to use them for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back to close us out. And just to remind you, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I didn't plan to preach a Pentecost message because next month we're going to be spending the whole month on the theme and topic of the Holy Spirit, both on a Wednesday and also on Sunday. So let me just encourage the entire church, if you can meet us on Wednesdays either at 1:30 p.m. or at 7:30 p.m. That will be fantastic. And then, of course, on Sunday, we'll also be talking about the Holy Spirit. So throughout the whole month of June, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. God bless you all.
Our final song is an older version, really, of "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." But the first line of it says, "O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend." So we don't fear being called a wicked and lazy servant if we serve him to the end. Let's stand and sing together.
Shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. Oh, wonderful.
please do stay behind for teas and coffees if you would like prayer. There's always the prayer corner. And if you would like to speak to Nathan about first steps in Christ or about coming to know more about Christ, if we've mentioned anything in the service, then please do, or to any of the leadership team. And let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.